So let's continue from the book of Mark chapter 4. It says from verse 3, that's the parable, talking about the man who went out to sow. He said, the sower went out to sow, and it came about when he was sowing, some fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up, and other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. Now, let's not waste time talking about the seeds that didn't produce anything. Our emphasis has been on the seeds that produce. Verse 8. He said, and other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then further down, he began to give the interpretation of the different kinds of soil. And then when he got down to verse 20, he said, and these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it. So we are talking to believers, those who have accepted the word. And they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now what that tells us is that just like the kind of hearts that the other people had that prevented them from bearing fruit, and there were different kinds of hearts, there are different qualities of hearts amongst those that believe. Are you getting the point? Let's not forget it. And what we have been saying is that what we should go for in life is the 100-fold. That is a maximum amount of blessing, all right, that God has for you in life. And when we say blessing, let me just quickly explain the word blessing again in this context, that is in our lives as believers. Blessings don't only mean, blessings don't only mean I have a car, I have a house, I have wife, children, money, plenty, the sweet, sweet in quote things of life. No, that's not all that the blessing of God means. The blessing of God makes rich, that's certain, all right? But the blessing of God is spiritual. Are you getting my point? A man can be going through adversity, and in the midst of his adversity, he's totally at peace, and he has total joy. That's a blessing. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? All right, so what I'm trying to say here is that we need to experience the fullness of God. That's a good word for it, all right, in whatever we are going through in life. We must experience the fullness of God so that when we're talking about 100-fold blessing, a man shouldn't just think that, okay, once I get a 100-fold blessing, though I'm a student, I should quickly go and buy a car because it's a manifestation of a 100-fold blessing. It is not always a manifestation of a 100-fold blessing. If you come into my house, I have children, then no matter how much you bless my son, the blessing only means that he will abide in the father's house till he becomes a man. You won't bless him so much, you'll decide that, well, daddy, I'm going to buy my own house. I'm going to move out so I can eat all the chocolate without any control. That's not a blessing, that's a curse. Do you know what I'm going to explain? So when we're talking about blessing, therefore, it's not just about what the flesh says is good, but the ability to enjoy the fullness of God under every condition and in every phase that we may be in life. And I said that's what we should go for as believers. So the heart that we have is what decides the kind of experience we will have with God. And every time I have learned this, and I'm praying that you will learn it also, I'm very, very, I'm careful about testimonies. Now I keep on telling you that, all right? I'm careful about testimonies. You know, I teach medical students, and today, I was giving a lecture today in class, and they were laughing. I said some of the things that people tell you that they are being pressed by witches. I was teaching today about heart failure. And I said that, look, there's a kind of symptom of heart failure that people have, that not typical Africans, since they say they are being pressed by witches. But the doctor knows no witch is pressing you. Your heart is failing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to go into that now. And, I now picked up a magazine, all right? After my lecture, I went to the office, sat down. One of the staff in my office, she goes to a particular church, and I've seen the man's pictures everywhere. And I've been wondering what draws everybody to this particular church, because I've heard what the man said there, and forgive me, I don't know anything he says that should draw anybody. Now, not because what he says is bad, it's very inaccurate, but it's not horrible, but to draw plenty of people. So I've been curious. So when I saw this big journal she has with her, I said, please let me have it. All right? And I now finally got what it was that was drawing the crowd. I needed to know, and I was satisfied that I knew. Because you see testimonies of healings, of all kinds of things, miracles. Except that there was a page in which they had pictures of all the people that had been delivered from Staphylococcus. And I was embarrassed. I'm a doctor, all right? I know Staphylococcus. I know his father, his grandfather, the children he bears. I know the disease he causes. And it is not one of those things that people talk about. I was embarrassed. This is published as testimonies in a church. Jesus, I was embarrassed. Staphylococcus is a bacteria, it's a kind of bacteria that does not do all the things they claim it does. When you see worms going around in your stomach, groom, 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 it is Staphylococcus. It's not Staphylococcus, nothing. So to my embarrassment, there was a full page dedicated to those who had been delivered from Staphylococcus. I said, Jesus is Lord. Ah, God. Anyway, shall you know what you are doing? I'm the one that don't really understand. Hey, what I'm saying is this. And these testimonies, that is, people who had nothing wrong with them were testifying of deliverance from nothing. That's why I said, me, I'm very careful. I like to follow God very closely. I like to follow God very closely by His word. I was sharing something with my wife this morning. I said, you know, have you ever heard of deliverance? And now, please, I'm digressing a bit, but we'll keep learning as we say these things. There are those who go for deliverance, meaning they can't stop going. And Ken Higgins says something that you think you have seen manifestations, that he has seen, that even he partook in deliverance. And you lay hands on people, they virtually climb up the walls. Have you ever watched Christian television and some of these things? You see all kinds of disgrace to the gospel that we call preaching and manifestation of the Spirit. You are praying for one girl, she starts jerking and coughing. What does that mean? And you say it's manifestation of the Spirit. Some of these will have emotional problems. I'm telling you, her problem is emotional. We call it hysteria in medicine. There's nothing, you're not delivered for anything. That's, if she had gone to see a man selling ice water, that's how she would have jerked also. And you film it. It's on television. Hey, power of God. Do you know embarrassment? I go put my head like Jesus Christ. God, please now. Wait here. Close somebody down now, if you know what I'm trying to say. This is not nice for the gospel. I see all kinds of, it's ash. Some of them I would just be pained. Can I say, you want to see manifestation? I saw it. I've been thinking for days that God, which kind of thing be this one? Then I had an inspiration. I told my wife by this morning. I said, God, it's toys. It's children playing with toys. Do you understand my point? Spiritual toys. You want to jump? Fine. No problem. I'll lay hands on you. You'll somersault. After that, you come back to where you were. Your life has not changed. But human beings, no, they like it. You draw a large crowd. What is happening? The man makes people somersault. It's not a terrible, horrible thing. It's just ignorance of children. Ken Hagin said in that book, he said he too saw all kinds of things. But one thing he did not see was lives that changed. He saw people somersaulting. But life changing, he didn't see one. After that, he abandoned the whole procedure and said, God, something must be wrong. And he began to pray. Then finally, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. He said, oh boy, you know your problem? What's my problem? He said, the problem is that you are trying to do by this your prayers what only the entrance of the word does. The thing that changes the lives of people is the entrance of the word. The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, I went to all of this trying to explain something. I'm very careful about testimonies. A man can come and testify about how God provided a fantastically big car for him. And it's all a manifestation of his stubbornness. And you don't know. Do you understand? And you that God has not yet given. Do not say that you have not yet pressed the proper keys. Yeah, that's what I'll be telling you. So you have not yet pressed the proper keys and given the proper offerings and used the proper visions and you confess the proper words. There are people that God gave things out of, I don't tire for your harassment, take. Shey, we can have another prayer point now. So even when I'm asking God for things, my wife will testify yesterday, I told her, look, I'm facing a lot of temptations right now. She said about what? When I explained, if I tell an average person with a wicked soul of a heart, he will say, you call that one temptation. And I can't give you details now, right? We have other things that I said. So when I explained to her, she understood that for me, it's serious temptation. That is, do I focus on this, you know, and exert my energy here so as to produce this? I said, because I'm afraid that if I insist, God will allow me, all right? And then I will get the result I desire. And I'll come and testify about the result. Meanwhile, God will say, oh boy, it was stubbornness that had made me allow you. You won't just trust me totally. They harassed God plenty. He said, you can divorce your wife. And when Jesus came, he said, in the beginning, it was not so. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what I do is that, even when I want to ask God for things, I use style to ask him first, say, I hope it's okay to ask around this. I hope this is not covetousness. I hope it's not stubbornness. That is, we are trying to purify our motives. Do you understand my point? Because the ultimate blessing, the higher blessings of God, come from the purification of a man's heart. I'm trying to say that so we don't follow testimonies. Just everybody's getting it. You don't know why they are getting what they are getting. And some of the things they are getting is the reason why they will not get the ultimate thing. If you go and see in Hebrews chapter 11, it said they rejected deliverance that they might get a better resurrection. A lot of people are testifying they've gotten a deliverance that would deny them a better resurrection. I hope you are getting my point. So what are we supposed to do? We follow the purification of our hearts into the hundredfold blessing. That's what I'm explaining. Because what God is able to release into our lives is dependent upon the kind of heart that we have produced before him. And that's the thing. It is us that will do the work. Though we use his power, we use his grace, but it is us, it's we by ourselves that will go to him and say, God, purify my heart. Are you getting my point? Whichever way you want to pray the prayer, you have to pray that prayer. So that and you see, it's an everyday thing. It never gets to a point saying, now everything is okay. I said, if you ever get to that point, it's because there's a level of light you have not yet entered into. Once you enter into that level of light, you remember that there's a degree of darkness in the light that you had yesterday. And that's why you thought you were perfect and okay. So once you reach one level, God lifts the standards. And that's how it is with Christianity. God keeps on lifting up the standards. And you can't by yourself struggle, all right, into a place where you can please God. No, what God just does is that he allows you to discover. The word is discover. Once you have discovered your shortcomings, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 is the key. You go and confess. And then God by himself removes the shortcoming and cleanses you of all unrighteousness. And then you stabilize at another higher level. Let me say something to us today. Let's focus on a walk with God and not on a quick breakthrough with God. What did I say we should do? Focus on what? Walk. You know what walk means? We gist, we talk, we relax, we move. We are just there together for the long haul. And one thing I know for sure, there is nobody, hear this. There is nobody who will follow God like that will one day look back and regret it. It's not possible. If anybody regretted his walk with God, those were the people who were serving God for what they were going to get. And when they did not get what they wanted, it looked as if God disappointed them. But those who truly follow God from the bottom of their hearts for the right reason of getting to know him, because Jesus said that is eternal life, that they might know you. Those who do, believe me, they can never. It will never happen. That's why Solomon said, and David said, I have been young, now I'm old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his children beg bread. He wasn't blind. He wasn't stupid. He knew what he was saying. A man who was truly righteous, David said, it never happened. Do we get the point? All right, so that's where we were. I just wanted to read that one. Today, what I want to talk about today is the matter of, it's still in line with our hundredfold blessing. You will see where God distinguishes one person from another. We're talking about going from one level to another. 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And I was talking with one man of God. In fact, let me just say this now. My wife and I went to visit a man of God about 2 nights ago. And it was really interesting. In fact, we felt led by the Holy Spirit to go for that visit. Some of the things we discussed is not, let me not bore you with them. It has to do with ministry matters. But what I want to bring out was, along the line, he asked some questions. You know, we're just chatting, discussing many things. And he asked questions like, okay, let me give you an example. I hope this is all right, because I want to mention a name, Michael Jackson. And he said that God gave that guy a talent. And you've heard me say it before, that there's nothing the devil can give you. But that's where what I want to bring out that thing out now. That there's nothing the devil can give you that God did not plan to give you before. If God never plotted it for you, the devil doesn't have the ability to create it. What does he do? He's a schemer. He's a tempter. when he knows that God wants you to have the whole garden and the whole earth, he comes to you and tempts you away and tells you that you become wise, able to take over everything by yourself. But he knew that God wanted you to have it. So he skins you away so that you come under his control, so that if you do finally get that thing, you use it to serve his purpose. That's what the devil does. Many men who are rich in life will have become rich if they had followed God. Except that Satan promises them the blessing, you know what I mean, in quotes, riches. And when they follow him to get it, when they get the riches, it is not within their control anymore concerning what they will do with it. And that's the way life is. Spiritual things control you. You don't control them at that point. The control you have is what I want to discuss today, at the point in which you are making your choices. That's the control you have. Once you decide who will give you money, the person decides how you spend it. Did you hear what I said? You can decide the person that will bless you financially. But once you have decided that, the person decides how you are going to spend it. If Satan makes you rich, you will be a wicked soul. You can't help it. No matter how hard you try, all right? The control of your life has been given to him. Do you understand? So, when he asked that question, that set us thinking. I said that, yes, indeed, God prepared such a great talent for this young man then. But I said, the problem with God, in quotes, that's human beings, that's the problem we have with him, is that he doesn't hurry. Can't you see your friends are making it? What's his problem? I don't know what I can say. You can understand that your friends are making it now. Why is he keeping you waiting? You understand the logic? So, Abraham, when you want to bless me with children and descendants, you want to wait till I'm 100 years old. Which kind? You say you're a tempter. That's the way we look at it with God. He can see everybody is moving. But God refuses to join competition. He said those who are running, they are the ones that are confused as to their personalities and their character and their abilities and their powers. I am not confused. I know I'm the God of the whole earth. I know there's nothing too difficult for me, so I don't have to try and prove it to the people who don't believe anyway. So he just refuses to join the race. And most human beings, that's why we say, God, well, since you are this slow, let's look for guys who are faster. Then they join the devil. And the devil shall be that thing well. You just connect you by one shortcut to the place God was taking you to. And the way by which you get a result is what determines what you will get from it. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. Alright? Because narrow is the way, and straight is the way, and narrow is the door that leads to, you know what I'm saying, Matthew chapter 7, that leads to life. So, this is what happens. If you enter through there, you find life for your soul. It's the same thing you are entering. Please go and read that context very well. It is the same thing you are entering. It's not a different thing. You enter into that same thing, but this time around, through another road. And if you go through the wide road, he said what happens is that you will find that Matthew 7. He said, enter by the narrow gate, verse 13, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. Can you see? It's the way by which they enter into that same thing. He said, the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Listen, this is what happens. They are trying to enter into the same thing. What determines what you get out of what you enter into is how you get there. Do you get my point? If you make a pact with the devil and become very, very successful, you are in trouble. Listen, you will cry. The only issue is that nobody will be there when you are crying. So the ignorant people that the devil is trying to use you to confuse, all right, will think you are enjoying. When you enter your house, you start beating your... Look, you think it is ordinary eye that makes a man, a young, successful musician, made millions and millions of dollars. At night, he carries cocaine and starts shooking into his nose. You think he's just happy. He starts taking LSD. He starts smoking all kinds of things. Think it's out of joy and gladness. It's out of depression. The man is terribly sad. That is what will always happen if the devil helps you to make it in life. That's the rule. So the man of God and I will discuss. So we're talking about ministry. Oh, this is the sad part. We're talking about ministry. We're not talking about, what do you call it? Oh? I use Michael Jackson as an example. I didn't want to tell you other things. So we're naming names of great ministers in quotes that everybody's doing by back for. And we looked independently. He said to me, what's wrong with this fellow? I said, it is called Ichabod. The glory has departed. Listen, we analyze the situations independently. We just happened to meet a few days ago and we're looking. Because, you know, one thing led to a TV was on, one thing led to another. And he said, this particular man, I have been looking at him for a while. I don't understand. What is wrong with him? Pastor Banky, do you know? I said, I think I do. He said, tell me. I said, it's called Ichabod. The glory has departed. What about all of this noise and glamour? I said, listen, the devil can gather crowd for you. Forget that one. Sometimes not even the devil, it's God. God made Saul king. He didn't throw him away from the throne because the spirit departed away from him, did he? He left him there for a while. Now, why did I tell the story? When I began to analyze, how does a man get to that kind of place? I said, it's simple. It's the kind of choices you make in your life. Then the man began to tell me stories along the line. But that my wife had a very good laugh. He pastors, is a minister in town here, pastors some churches. The church in Enugu is not very big, you know what I'm saying? But he's been in ministry for a long time. We just happened to meet a few days ago and we're looking, because, you know, he was doing church as a young boy, young man. And somebody came in and said, come and pray for my wife, she's sick unto death. And the little woman was literally sick unto death. She had been to all kinds of hospitals and she had not been healed. The doctors couldn't do anything, so she was now at home. Couldn't get her from the bed. Totally bedridden, very, very sick. He prayed for her. In 2 days, she was totally well and back to full life. In 2 days. The man was so happy, the man sent him a brand new car and a driver. My wife was laughing. The guy was saying himself, that small boy, that do I know how much they sell for? The man sent him a brand new car and a driver. He said, the only thing that was the problem now is that the man would come to church and look very uninterested. And the man called him and said, look, you are a young man, you preach very well, and God uses you. We can come around you and build you up in this town. Are you hearing that? Men like me will come around you, will build you up, make you prominent, make you successful. He looked at the man and said, thank you very much. Said the man will come to church and be looking very uninterested. After a while, he noticed that. Then the man came to him and said, look, as a preacher, you don't have to preach for long. Service should not be more than 30 minutes. All those kind of stories. After, he said, one day, he told the driver, come, take this car, take it back to this man's house. He said, what do I tell him? He said, tell him I went on retreat. When I come back, I'll see him. Listen to me. He walked away from what a lot of other people call breakthrough. Are you getting what I'm saying? He told the brand new car and the driver, say, driver, come, take this car and go back to where you came from. Say, what do I tell Oga? Say, tell him I'm going on a retreat. When I come back, I will see him. They never saw again. He described how he went to a particular place and was preaching. I want to tell you something, because my message today, all right, is on making choices accurately. Last time I talked about praying yourself out of a bad character. All right, today, as part of our 100-fold blessing, I'm talking about how to make the right choices in life. How you use the word of God and prayer. Those two things. Peter looked and said, we must not neglect the ministry of the word and prayer. I won't give you all the things. We're just there for long ago. But I like to tell this story because these are the things that you and I should know today. I told you, don't let the world teach you what success is. I don't tell you. One day I entered the bank. I filled form. I wanted to do some transactions. And the guy looked at the paper, looked at me, said, Pastor Banky. I said, yes. What are you doing here? I said, what am I doing here? I'm in the bank. I came to do transaction. You mean you go to bank? I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why don't I go to bank? You don't have boys to, you know, go to bank for you, you know, boys to do all this running up and down. I am here. I said, no, nobody works for me. I work for myself alone right now. Nobody's working for me.
You know what he said next? He said, with all this ministry, with all this broadcast on radio, like, oh, you are still a normal man like this. When people like you should sit down at home and be giving orders left, right, and center. That's what he was implying. I said, no, sorry, I don't have anybody to send. I've come here to do it myself. One day, Pastor Paul, he said that somebody told him that, you know, the way it is right now, this is how his hair is supposed to be, and he should start playing golf. People like him shouldn't play football. He start playing golf. They are trying to teach you what success is. Somebody see you in the market. Pastor Bank, you come to market. Oh, Mrs. Bank, you they go market. Why can't I go to market? What is wrong with me going to market? You know, you're supposed to be a big man, big woman. People like you don't go to market. You cross leg at home and start dishing out orders. Listen, if God puts in a position where you cross leg at home and dish out orders, fine. It's not a sign that you are a big one. People who are going to die or go to hell are doing it. So the fact that you are doing it doesn't mean anything. No, there are those who are headed for destruction. That's what they are doing right now. So it's not a sign of progress at all. The man told me that he was preaching in a church, not in Nigeria here. He went to a town, a city somewhere, and started a ministry. And a lot of crooks were attending the church. He knew that they were 419 people. I said, are they Nigerians? He said, most of them were Nigerians. So because they were 419 people, he preached hard against 419 and crookedness and everything. He said, the harder I preached, the more they came. He said, he looked and said, which kind of people are these ones? He threatened fire and brimstone. You understand my point? You are going to die and go to hell. Next Sunday, more of them will come. Say, man, that pastor is hot. He's okay. He told himself that maybe general administration does not work. So I seen them one by one, explaining principles or why this they are doing their run, that why they need repentance and all of that. The more he spoke against iniquity, the more they liked him. Bring him money. So one day he got tired. He said, all of you, get away from this church. He drove. They couldn't understand the kind of human being. That this guy is a crazy guy. Because they were bringing plenty offering. He said, okay, you want to drag me to hell with you, Abby? In Jesus' name, none of you must go. He drove everybody away. The church scattered. You know what I mean? That level. They moved across to another Pentecostal church in that same city. Built a cathedral there in a few months. He said, yes, you people can go. If they like it like that, they're fine. Me, I don't want it. Let's make a long story short. The pastor of that church went to jail. Look, after police locked that one up. Now the big boss can't release, arranging release. Carry and come up for the city. Say, thank you very much. Listen, I won't tell you more than that. I told those stories to let you know that. Let's read a few scriptures so that you see why I said we read it. I told the stories. Isaiah 56. It was so beautiful that I heard those stories so that I can help. They help me illustrate what I'm trying to say. Because the world teaches us to make choices in such a manner that we get material blessing immediately. But Jesus said the hundredfold blessing comes from the purification of our heart. Isaiah chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Please, I want you to understand something when you see the word like salvation and righteousness. When God says my salvation is about to come, it means my deliverance is about to come. I want to pour my blessing upon my people. Let me just say this, by the way. God has a way of delaying. And he does not pour his blessings on a generation until he has counted enough people in that generation. And listen to this. So, once he begins to pour the blessing, the door is closed to every man and every woman in that generation. Listen. Don't think, go and tell your friends, they shouldn't think they have forever to repent. This is a terrible message. But hear it. Those who say that, let's enjoy first, we'll repent later. Tell them that Pastor Banky said you should let them, that he says you should let them know that they don't have forever to repent. God counts. He waits until the hall is full. If you have not repented before that time, you're on your own. The same principle applies to believers. Don't think, let's take ministry as an example. You will say, I said it. I'm very sorry, I'm about to say something very terrible. you will see scandals and troubles break out in ministries in Nigeria. One church after another will collapse. Listen, ministers will be disgraced. Troubles will come upon the church in Nigeria. The preachers who don't think they have forever to change their minds. They don't. Let people not think that God waits forever. A time comes, say, hey, 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 this business you have done is enough. I'm waiting for people to become that one by one. It is enough. This way of doing ministry, I've done the one in that 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Listen, the day he turns things around, it's already too late for repentance. Repentance has a deadline. He said there was a time Esau cried. He sought. He was going after repentance, in quotes now. Diligently was crying, begging that he might receive a blessing. It was too late. Repentance has a deadline. You preach to a young man. Listen. People who laugh at the gospel, you know the annoying part? The day they will die suddenly, they will wake up, they will still be laughing. What I'm telling you is the truth. That day that they will die suddenly and go to hellfire, they will wake up laughing. I know what I'm telling you. Warn people. I'm begging you to give your life to Christ. Don't think you can do it when you are 56. Don't tell him that after my father's friend when he was 56. Listen, he did not hear the gospel until he was 50. You have been hearing it since you were 18, 19, 20. You think you will keep God with him for 30 years? You're out of your mind. Hey, look. Look. God is long suffering. He's not ever suffering. The suffering is long. It has an end. It's long. I'm not saying it's not long. It's very long. I don't know how long it is. But one thing I'm certain about is that it has an end. One day, God will come and say, yeah, Gabriel, have her. Cut it. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. We don't do. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. God is long suffering. He's not ever suffering. So when he says, preserve justice and do righteousness, he said, for my salvation is about to come. Why I use the word about to come is that people have been waiting for it. So what God does is that before he pours out that blessing, all right? You know, this is the interesting part. You know, John the Baptist did no mighty work. You know that? So everybody who believed in John the Baptist, he didn't get any miracle. John would take a sick man, baptize him, and return him in his sickness. No healing. But when Jesus showed up, I don't have time to analyze the book of Luke now. But when Jesus showed up, anybody who did not receive the baptism of John did not get one single blessing from him. Not one. Either you receive the baptism from John, or from Jesus in his early days. Because you see, there were two phases to it. John the Baptist was preaching, and Jesus was teaching, but wasn't preaching loudly. And because he was teaching, gathering disciples, a lot of people followed him. After his baptism, all right, people followed Jesus Christ, most of them coming from John the Baptist. Because John looked and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. People like Peter and could just disappear. Abandon John, sharp, you know, went somewhere else, you know. A lot of guys just abandoned John because of the testimony. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. He said, you are right. So let us go and follow him to increase, while bros here is decreasing. Yeah, a lot of people followed John like that. And they were right. They did what was right. When you are judging people, be careful. John was not angry. There was a time Jesus' church became bigger than John's own. You understand my point? The way we say church now. And people went and told John, the man who trained the ministry here has built a bigger congregation than you. These people, look at them. John said, shh, close your mouth. Did I not tell you that he must increase and I must decrease? He said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from the hand of God. So me, I'm not competing with him. Jesus was gathering, and no one thing he did not do was to preach openly, yet he was baptizing plenty of people. As soon as John the Baptist, they came one day, they came to him and said, hey, John has been taken into custody. From that day, the Bible says, from that very day, he began to preach. The same gospel that John the Baptist preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Listen, if you wanted to repent that time, those were the last days of repentance. Jesus was not doing any miracles. Then one day, he did the beginning of miracles in Cana of Galilee. After that time, he stopped preaching all this, going around doing crusade of repentance. You get what I'm saying? John the Baptist, that was his ministry. Jesus carried it on for some time. And all those who did not receive from John in that season, or from Jesus in the early days, couldn't get anything. They had no choice but to band with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were amongst those who went and shouted, "Crucify him." Because the time of their visitation came, they did not go into repentance. This is the point I'm making. All the while that John was baptizing, you see any miracle? Nothing. But they had to preserve justice and do righteousness, because Jesus, the salvation of God, was about to come. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So, one of the major things believers must learn is that thing called patience. So, what is patience? You know, the easy way to be patient is to learn what is right and the reason why it is right, and don't tie any reward to it and continue doing it. If you quickly tie reward to one thing you do, you know, like I've seen before, people are on a giving project, not a giving project. You're on a giving project. You don't get what I'm saying? Like, I have been poor. I'm going to be rich. So now, you start, that is, start monthly, weekly, giving, pushing, that is, as I'm pushing this seed, and giving this seed, then one day it will break. After like 5 years, they begin to get tired. It's a very stupid and wrong motivation for doing what is right, because of the reward. But what do believers do? We learn of the Spirit of Christ and say, this is right. The beautiful thing about doing things because they are right is that you don't get tired of them. He said, preserve justice and do righteousness, because my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. When he says righteousness, what it means is that I will prove myself righteous, that those who have served me will not go unrewarded. Are you getting my point? I will prove myself righteous, that if I promise something, I always bring it to fulfillment. And I say, how blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of this, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath. I'm not discussing these ones today. I just want to get down to where I'm going. And keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner, now listen to this, who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath and choose what pleases me, are you getting that? And hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial, a name better than those of sons and daughters. Let me stop there. My emphasis is that verse 5. He said, to the man who doesn't look like I can, he can receive it, but if he keeps my Sabbath and choose that which pleases me, that's the person I'm going to bless. Why I read this is the word of, is that word, choose what pleases me. And see what God, please note that very carefully, Isaiah 56 verse 4, and quickly go to Isaiah chapter 65 verse 12, and see the opposite. Hundredfold blessing, that's what we're talking about. From verse 12, I just want to read verse 12 alone. He said, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter. Because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And you did evil in my sight, and chose that in which I did not delight. Can you see that? I made a choice concerning something that God did not delight. He said, because of that, I'm going to head into disaster. Are you getting the point? That is, if a man wants to go into a hundredfold blessing, the watchword is, what is the pleasure of God? All right? The watchword is, what is the pleasure of God in everything that I am doing? One more verse, let's read it. Isaiah chapter 66, just the next chapter. It says, so I will bring their punishments, and I will bring on them what they dread. Because I called, but no one answered. I spoke, but they did not listen. And they did evil in my sight. How did they do that? And chose that in which I did not delight. Now, you know, I said today I'm talking about making the right choices. All right? Because that is what opens the door for God's hundredfold blessing. You know, you see people, I see all the time, people say, I resist Satan. I say, resisting Satan is not about looking for the devil and punching him in the face. That's not what it is. He said, I set before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. What God was saying in effect is this. And he said, Moses said it. He said, choose life. How? By obeying the words of this commandment that I'm commanding you today. That's how you choose life. Do you understand the point? Choices. Making the choices that please God. All right? We have said it before. In life, we can get to points that things are so difficult. And I'm going to add something to what we said before. We've already said there are times you know what God wants. Do you understand? Like Jesus knew what God wanted. He knew the will and the plan of God. The problem was that the will and the plan of God was difficult to execute. It was difficult for him to just walk into the cross. So that's when we learn the doctrine of Gethsemane. You understand my point? That a woman prays. That's what, Jesus Christ. Those are the things that prayers are for. That a man prays until the will of God becomes pleasant to his soul. There are times you do things because, I was telling my wife the other day, I said that, do you want to go out? I said, no, I don't want to go out. So she said, okay, we're not going out. I said, no, you've missed the point. Do I want to go out? No. So next time, phrase it like this. Please, do you mind following me out? I said, the answer may be, all right, no problem. But whether I want to is a different matter. There are times I go out just because you ask, not because I want to. Those are the ways to obey the will of God. There are times you do what God says, not because you like it, but because you are sure he said it. But that one is easy when it is easy. You understand my point? Yeah, that one is easy when it is easy. There are times in which you know that's what he wants, but you don't want it and it is hard. That's what we are talking about. We're not going to buy it again. We discussed that one before. So that's when the Jesus Christ that's supposed to go to the cross will go to the garden and they start praying. And when they try to come out of the garden and it looks like they still don't want to, it's still looking hard, they go back. I've said this several times before. I said, we used to say those days, and that's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Those days I used to, as young people, we wonder that how can a man take his only son, Isaac, and just decide to go and slaughter him because somebody said so. Yes, it is God, we know. But you yourself, you have disobeyed. You know what he said you should do, and you have disobeyed. After many years of studying the scriptures, I now realize that, yes, it appears hard to all of us, but it was not hard to Abraham. We made it look like Abraham contemplated for days. He deceived the woman. He was crying. I said, By the time Abraham set out on that journey, it was not hard. And you see, God does not give a man a temptation that is beyond the one he can handle. So God won't ask you now, as you did there, to sacrifice your only son. It's a lost case. He knows from the beginning that guy is sacrificing nothing. If I tell him to cut his mango tree self, he won't cut it. How much more an only son? I'm not going to ask him that kind of thing. I'm telling you. Did you ever read the book? There's a book I've been recommending for you several times, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said God showed him in a vision a man who was doing a lot of good works. And he showed him another man who just wanted to kill a cat and change his mind. And he said, do you know who's getting the greater reward? The man said, of course, the guy was doing a lot of good work. And God said, no. He's a man that wanted to kill a cat and change his mind. Why? Because he was given only 3 doses of love. And he used all of that to restrain himself from killing that cat. The man who's doing all the good works got 100 doses of love and is using only 70. What I'm saying is this. When it's time to do great things sometimes, all right? What you are looking at is very, very great. If you have worked with God and built yourself to a particular level, it becomes as easy for you as not killing a cat. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. That's what God does in people. He works in you so that obedience to his word, obedience to his will becomes easy. That's what is called working with God. So when a man faces something that is hard, what he does is to return inside and go and pray and stay in the place of prayer and meditation and confession of the word of God until obedience to that expressed will of God. All right? Until obedience to that expressed will of God becomes simple. To those watching from outside, it's not easy. There are things that you do in faith and people are wondering, how did you manage? And you are wondering what is wrong with them. David did not agonize so much over the killing of Goliath. He was so sure he would do it. Do you understand my point? All right, we've established all of those things. The one I'm adding to it today is, okay, what about when you get to a point, you're not even sure what God wants you to do? That's what we want to discuss. Oh, we're almost through with it anyway. I'm about to finish because I've said many things. That is the one. Okay, what about when we get to a point? You know, because there are good things. The will of God is very simple. All right? Let me withdraw that. In a lot of situations, the will of God is very clear. Very, very clear. There are some that are so clear that you know it's a temptation to even think otherwise. You follow what I mean? Let me give you an example now. I am married. Let's assume I go downstairs and I see one very fine woman. I say, I'm tempted to go and marry her. You know, it's not. How stupid temptation is that one? Let's go and pray. What is the will of God to marry this young woman? God will look you say, you want me to slap somebody, Abby? And it's in the Bible, I can show you God to slap people on such matters. It doesn't answer. In fact, if you pray too much, you say, go ahead, my son. Go ahead. Now marry. No, in fact, two of them. She has a sister and a friend. Make the three of them together. Then they decapitate you in broad daylight. There are wills of God that are clear like that. All right? There are wills of God that are clear like that. But then on the other extreme are the ones that are not so clear. Do you follow my point? Do we go to Abuja or stay in Lagos? I've read the Bible from beginning to the end. That name Nigeria doesn't show up. Not to even talk about Abuja or Lagos. In all honesty, there are times when a man says, marry me. Do I say yes or say no? It's a serious problem. Very serious problem. Let me say something before I go on. God has a will in every situation. James now says something. So help me explain this thing again. Quickly, let's read James chapter 1. We're talking about praying, the hundredfold blessing. I'm giving a foundation for the thing so that when you use a few words, you understand what you are saying. And it has a lot of effects in the realm of the spirit. Two things make a man's word heavy spiritually. Number one is personal righteousness. And then number two is conviction, all right, concerning the things that he's saying. One, personal righteousness. Number two, the conviction you have concerning the things that you are saying. Those are the two things put together that give weight to your words in the realm of the spirit. All right, so he said, consider it all joy, James chapter 1, verse 2, when you encounter various trials, my brethren, he was saying, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And he said, let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, that's where we're going, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Now, let me just stop there. What I want to bring out is this issue of lacking wisdom and praying yourself into the will of God. Before, we said we have discussed the issue of when you know the will of God, it's expressed already. All right? The problem is that how do you walk in that which you know? We've discussed that, right? That's why we're talking about drawing into the throne of grace. That's the first time we explained it. But here we are talking about when you get into a situation and you are not even certain of what the will of God is. Now, when James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let's quickly explain briefly for 2 minutes what it means when he says man lacks wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge, all right? Well, it's commonly said for your benefit, all right? But let me put it like this. It's the ability to apply knowledge so that you will find yourself, all right, in the will of God. You find yourself doing that which is pleasing to God. Most of the things you do in life is based on that knowledge, application of knowledge, all right? So you come to the presence of the Word of God, you learn. That begins to shape how you make decisions. Let me give you, using Mary as an example. There are basic things that the Word of God teaches, all right? Like, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So those are the things that we gave as examples before. Sometimes when it appears like the yoke has been thrown around your neck, you understand what I'm saying? With an unbeliever, you know that this is against the will of God. How do you now do that which is right? Do you understand? So that you don't commit yourself into a yoking with an unbeliever. So these are clear things. You use wisdom as a child of God. I use the knowledge of the word of God as a child of God to apply them to your life. We call that wisdom. Do you follow what I'm saying? There are kinds of jobs that they offer you and you will not take. I remember once I worked in a clinic. I got sacked after 3 weeks. And I'm very proud of the sacking. All right? The reason was simple. The man advertised in the newspaper that I wanted the doctor, and I went and applied, and he employed me, except that he ran an abortion clinic and I did not know. Of course, it was in a one part of Lagos, and it was quite a heavily populated area. Sick people also used to come. So when they come and say that they are sick, I'll treat. Then a young woman will walk and say, I missed my period. I say, I don't find missing things. This is not the police station. Go somewhere else and go and look for what is missing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, initially I thought, what's wrong with all of you? Do I look like search and rescue? What are you looking for? It was after I realized that, my God, I'm the problem here, not them. I mean, this is what they do in this place. So when they come, the first time I kicked somebody out of my consulting room, one of the work staff came and they tried to talk. I said, I let them go and meet the MD. I don't find missing things against my religion. You understand what I'm saying? So then one day the man called me and said that, look, he's not asking me to do the abortion. All he's just asking me to do is to date the pregnancy, which every well-trained young medical doctor can do. It's very simple. You can do it. All right? I said, but for what purpose now? He said, yeah, that, look, all that's all he's asking me to do. And I said, okay, you be my senior. We are both Yoruba men. Yoruba man said that the man that stole oil in the market and the man who helped him carry it, two of them, it's called conspiracy in law. Two of them are thieves. I said, what kind of thing is that one? I said, okay, I'm sorry, I know they do. Send me the sick people, malaria, typhoid fever, you understand my point? That's my job. And I was very good at that, as God is my witness. I already had patients who were bringing patients to make sure that they saw me. I remember one woman came with her sister-in-law. By the time I finished, I noticed that she was laughing and smiling and feeling very happy. So I was asking questions that showed that I knew what I was doing. You understand? Okay, how do you feel here? Oh, if it touch you here, that and that. Okay, I went back, kicked her small in the back, and you know, Frank, you know what I'm saying? Renal gluten damage. You know, did all of this and decided she had a kidney infection. Gave antibiotics. Oh God, they felt this doc is too good. I could do that. And why did she love me so much like that? He said she had a son that had been sick for some time. So one day she came in there with the child, I examined the child and gave a prescription. They took the medicine. Boom! Since that day, the boy has been well. So next time he went to visit the brother and saw that the brother's wife was sick, just said, don't worry, I have one doctor in one corner. He will cure you just now, you know. So I told him, at least such cases for me. He said, I lie. So he said, okay, I should go and think about it. I said, think about what? I went back to my consulting room. When I came back later, I said, Alpha. I said, okay, this matter is not to be talked about. What is going to happen? He said, I can't work for him. I was very happy. My first time of being sacked in my life. The first and only time I was sacked for righteousness' sake. That's using simple knowledge and working in the will of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's clear. You are not in doubt concerning what we are discussing. You just use that simple knowledge to walk in the will of God. But like I said, there are times, Abba, when it's not so clear-cut. That is what James meant when he said, if any man lacks wisdom. The wisdom to deal with that man was clear to me because I had the basic understanding of the will of God. But a time will come, all right, when you will see, if any man lacks wisdom, that is, you are not certain. And two things happen, either because you don't have enough information or you don't have enough understanding. There are two different things. All right, what I mean is that if you have information, now if you have understanding, you need information about the current situation to know how to apply the understanding that you have. That's a simple use of wisdom. But there are times that the problem is because you don't even have the understanding of how to tackle such situations. James said, let him pray. Are you getting my point? That's what I'm saying. That's what the Bible calls, if any man lacks wisdom. Listen, this is how we pray, all right? One, we understand something, that God has a will in every situation. Do you follow the point? It is just that right now, we don't know that will. But because we know, you know, I said something before, no matter the excuse you have, it does not justify disobedience. Disobedience will still make sure you miss the 100-fold blessing. So what we are going for in every situation in life is what? obedience to the will of God, which the problem now is that we don't even know what is the will of God. And please, let me say this clearly. Don't try and pretend with God that you don't know his will if you do. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's use marriage as an example. I'm not sure what God's will is, so not very sure. What is it? He said I should marry him. Okay. And people say that is he a believer? But he's not very serious. Once you start hearing the girl tell you a man is not serious, it's a nice way of saying he's the sinner. What is the problem? All these other boys, you know, they don't have anything. Of these five prospective bubbles, you understand what I mean? He's the only one that looks like his head is together and is going somewhere in life. The only problem is that you know they go church, you know they jack the word of God. You are not sure he has given his life to Christ. And he now started doing that. Let's just be praying, shall we? That God will let us know what to do. God will just look like, I feel like idiot, Abby. All right, I'm waiting. That's what I mean by don't pretend. That is not what we are talking about. If any man lacks wisdom, that's not what we are saying. There's clear-cut wisdom in some issues. It's just that's the one that you need to go and pray yourself, you know, the Gethsemane principle of the other time. Alright? You see a man, he starts suddenly rationalizing. All your life, you've been having a call to ministry. Then when the fat job that will transfer you all over the world suddenly shows up, you're just thinking that maybe suddenly, you know, God may have a different plan. And you know, Pastor Frank said that life is in phases. Maybe say, suddenly start cooking up ideas. Meanwhile, your problem is, you know, money. Hey! You don't look the $10,000 a month. You don't think of all the things that you can do both for yourself and for the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Hey! I say, God, we'll begin preach next year. Oh, we'll save up the money. I'm writing a book right now which I explain that is a very stupid and wrong thing to say. But let me save up the money that I will use to preach. God has never done that with anybody. Bishop Oedipo said, they asked him, how much money do you have saved up now that you're going to ministry? He said, nothing. And peradventure I had anything, I must finish spending it before I start. And that's the will of God. Amen? That's what I mean by let's not deceive anybody. Alright? One of the most important things you'll ever do for yourself in life is to be sincere both with yourself and with God and with other people. If you're a sincere believer, you will never be poor in life. Do you hear what I said? Yes. It's crookedness and sharpness that will put you into poverty if you're a Christian. Christians will never die poor. It's not possible. If they follow righteousness and sincerity, it will never happen. James said, if any man lacks wisdom, is that we have some understanding of God, but this situation, we don't have enough knowledge or we don't have enough information about the situation. So what do? We now go and do what? We pray. Knowing that God has a will in the situation. Please go and read that book again. I don't have time to explain it now. What is God's will here? The first chapter, I said, what is God's will? That's what I discussed. What is God's will? Or I said, the will of God. That the will of God is not that which is pleasant to my soul. The will of God is not that which will bless me the most. Like a woman said, who is God's will among these three men who are saying I should marry them? And what we are saying that, which one of them will prosper for a very long time and love me all my life? That's not the will of God. The will of God is that which God ordained that I should participate in. So a man can come and tell you later as a young woman, maybe in 14 years time, or 25 years time, say, look at it, I'm a billionaire now. I was telling you to marry me that time. You went and married that guy. If you regret, you're a sinner. Do you understand my point? You did not forsake him because you were hoping he would be poor. As a true believer, you forsook him because he was not the plan of God for your life. So, now that you are rich, have you now become the plan of God for my life just because you are rich? Is money the plan of God for my life? That's called mammon. So, let no man tell you that you will see. Say, what am I going to see? That you will become rich. Let my enemies live long so that they will see what I will become in future. You know that... That's our Nigerian prayer. It's not necessary. I'm not refusing to marry you because you won't be rich. I'm refusing because I have considered it. It doesn't look like God has a plan that unites the two of us in motion. If you say you're an apostle to Jamaica, do you understand what I'm saying? As a man, and then I feel like God has called me to Abuja as an example. It's just, if it's that clear, we are not together. Which kind of marriage by GSM communication is that one? I hope you are getting my point. No, be see at the vex. It is just that we are not called to walk together. So when we are praying, these are the things we must bear in mind. We're not trying to say, hey, God, what is your will? And you're saying the will of God is, hey, which one of these guys could be take fit? Because, you know, God, I've always wanted a wedding that the whole of Enugu and the environs we attend to. Calvin Klein was designed by God to make my wedding gown. This Bobo can't afford it. So when you are praying, if that's what you're asking for, God knows the answer. In fact, that one, it will just be vexed as you pray. When we say we lack wisdom, we are saying that God has a word. God has a specific will in this situation, and that's what we are trying to discover. Because when we discover and we do it, we walk in a manner that is pleasing to Him, and then we are walking towards that hundredfold blessing. No, that's where we began from. That's where we began from. Listen, that's why He said, how does it go again? Trust in the Lord, Proverbs chapter 3, with all your heart. Do not lean on your own human understanding, was saying. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and then He will direct your path. What He's saying is that in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That is, understand that God has spoken a word about your life, and that word has a direction in this particular situation. So when you are praying, it is not God, which city is the finest? It is Lord, which city did you ordain that I should move into? Are you getting my point? A friend of mine called me the other day. He said, for some time, the name Uganda has been in my mind. How many Nigerians ever think of Uganda? Well, he's a preacher. So we discussed at the end. I said, why don't you just plan a program for Uganda? I will advertise it on Omega Channel. We'll discuss with Omega Channel, put some money into it, and we'll advertise it. Even if it's only 10 people that will gather, let them come. You come and preach in Uganda. What is he going to find there? I don't know. But he said it appears like God is leading me to go there. I always say it's not only preachers that God leads. He leads businessmen also. Are you getting my point? Listen, if God opens your eyes like Joseph and you see the famine that is coming and how to preserve grain, you know the rest of the story. And he's willing to do that. Before you jump into one new project, because once he said there's plenty of money, that's then you should pray some more. Say, now, quickly. Say, wait, I'm coming. Once he starts using money to entice you, postpone it by 1 month. Say, oh, no. If God closes the door, and they say that when God opens the door, let's rush into it. Say, if God opens the door, no man can close it. We'll wait, why should we rush into it? He that believes that the door is open shall not hurry into it. Is that not what the Bible says? He that believes shall not make haste. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. That is, we know that God has a will in each particular situation. Walking into that will, all right, is what we are gunning for. So when we are confused concerning the will, that is another point we go to pray. Therefore, I think I've reached where I was going to. I've reached, haven't I? I've talked at length and have reached it finally. Therefore, we shall pray. Because you know, anytime you are preaching like this, everybody, in fact, I just don't want to embarrass anybody. I will begin to ask you, say, what is it? You've been thinking of one thing, all this one I've been talking. There's one thing I've been thinking of. There's one, that is all this talk with the guns. So it's one thing, not two. Rarely up to two. Most of the time it's one. One. Some of them are very destabilizing. That you're afraid that God, if your will is just this other side, you won't cause problems. So. That you want to use this will to cause problems. Listen. What I've been doing in all this series, trying to bring out something. What, like that pastor I was telling you about. He had to make choices to walk away from things that other people are celebrating. Thank you. Some are calling it breakthrough. The man woke up one day and drove away rich people from his church. Because he said, these people are jagudas. I don't want jagudas here. They will lead me into perdition. I don't want. I have been in a place before, a man was trying to gather money, and he would have been happy if those jagudas were present that day. Because I heard him say, you've heard him say before, he said, some people say it's blood money, I don't care. Whether it is blood money or not, bring it. I have bigger blood with which we are going to wash it. I hope God considers it a joke. Because if God doesn't consider it a joke, that guy's in trouble. Oh God, the Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May God consider it a joke. Because if the Lord did not consider it a joke, Ah, that guy go see Pepe. But another man saw it and said, hey, you people are troublemakers. It is who you will lead into hellfire that you are looking for. Not this man. He drove everybody away. And to prove to him that he made the wrong choice, in quote, they went and built a cathedral for the other pastor. He said, you, your cathedral, God knows where all of you are going. After, don't let material things impress you. Are you getting my point? Don't let it impress you. There's one bobo that says you marry, you have refused. So because of you, we say, so next month you'll buy a new car. Don't mind him. It's his insecurity that he wants to make you feel bad. Send him offering money for the tire of the new car he just bought to show to him that you are not intimidated. It's not about car. It's about the plan of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, all the while we've been speaking, there has been something on your mind. How do I know? That's how the Holy Spirit works. He said, but Pastor Bank, there's nothing on my mind. Don't worry. Shebi, this weekend is coming, Abi. All right. Yo, the thing will soon catch you when you get home. Between now and weekend, you don't go sleep straight again. You will replay all this message in your head. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Therefore, let's just pray for a few minutes, all right? Based on what we have said. If you wish to, you can stand. If not, you can stay where you are. But I want you to pray from the bottom of your heart concerning that one thing. First of all, let's give God thanks. Oh, it's such an honor. It's a privilege. You know, God looked and said, which nation around you do you know that has laws like these ones I have given you? Laws that are so just and righteous like this. Is it which nation? That is a great thing to have the word of God. It's a great thing to have the law of God. It's a great thing to have the will of God. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because I've come to know that there is a specific will that you have in my life at each particular point in time. Do I travel or do I not travel? God has a word about it. Most of the time, we don't bother to consciously think about it because we are flowing naturally into the will of God. But there are times, James said, a man will lack wisdom. He won't know whether to go to the left or go to the right. That's the point we're attacking again this evening. Say, Father, I thank you because you have the will for every point in my life. Yes, I thank you. You have the will for where I'm going to live. You have the will for the house I am going to live in. You have a will concerning the man I will marry, the woman I will marry. You have a specific word. You have a specific word. And I'm grateful that you have written these words down. I have a book before you in heaven. Lord, thank you for my book. Thank you for my book. Said, Lord, I am praying. That's why I have come for this meeting. That's why I'm praying this prayer. That my life will be an exact outplaying of that which is written in your book. And that was why Jesus taught us to pray like this. He said, pray like this. Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. Say, Lord, let your will be done in my life as you pre-proposed it in the heavens. Say, Lord, let your will be done in my life as you pre-proposed it in the heavens. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for the Spirit of Christ that's working through me. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ that's working in me. It's very important we give him thanks for all these things because once you have done that, in fact, a lot of times that happened to me before, I had to make decisions. By the time I finished giving thanks, suddenly understanding came. And I remember very well, I was walking on the road that day. I said, Lord, forget that I disturbed you. I just realized what was the right thing. That is, I just said it like that. God, forget I disturbed you. I just realized it. That is, by the time I finished Thanksgiving, I suddenly said, forget that I disturbed you. You understand my point? That's why it's so crucial we give thanks. So let's just say, Father, we thank you. Give him thanks for all these things. And then let's begin to ask. Now, you know each person, you know the issue. There are specific situations. Say, Lord God, in this situation, I lack wisdom. Concerning this business, I lack wisdom. Concerning this marriage proposal, I lack wisdom. Concerning this job application or the job resumption, I lack wisdom. Concerning what to say to my boss concerning this proposal, I lack wisdom. I know you have a specific will. Please, each person, take that thing at this point now and begin to pray because there are two sides to it. There's one that pleases God and there's one that will displease him. That's the simple thing. When Christians are making decisions, those are the things they must understand. It is about pleasing God. It is not about making money. It is about pleasing God. It's not about getting promotion. It is about pleasing God. It's not about marrying a rich husband. It is about pleasing God. It's not about marrying a fine woman. It is about the pleasure of God. each person, you will say, God, in this one I lack wisdom. That's if you truly lack wisdom. Because if you confess your insincerity, God will remove the insincerity out of your heart. If you say, God, actually, I was just afraid. The truth is, I know that you are not here, or I know that you are here. I'm just giving us time. Each person take that matter up to God in prayer. See, that's the aim of Christianity. That our hearts may be pure. Our hearts may be pleasing to God. That every impurity that's polluting the spirit of Christ that God has poured into us, we must remove it by confession. So if there is anything that is in your heart obstructing your ability to see God clearly, that's the instance I was talking about. You confess it out of your life. But if indeed there is confusion, James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Let him ask in faith. What is faith? Faith is just to understand that God is not doing to bone concerning my case. God has a particular will. If I understand that, I'm asking in faith. So lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. It's a crucial prayer. That's the best way to summarize it. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Just confess to him. Say, Lord, I am yours. Therefore, I will not do my own will. These are the things that Christians say. Oh, let's not spend all our time confessing, Lord, I receive a car, I receive a shoe. The Bible says that Jesus said it himself. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Seek that one first and every other thing. Listen, if you use the confession of shoe, house, you will get it. But it was not added. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, more than you could have ever imagined in material possession is what will be added to you. So let's use our confession first to declare that I am not my own. Everybody say it loud. Say, I am not my own. I belong to God. Declare it loud. Say, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I have been bought by his precious blood. I am a born servant of Christ Jesus. I am a son that serves. I am a son that serves. Listen, when I say son that serves, what it means is that you can be a son and be a prodigal son. But other than being a prodigal son, the only thing that a man can be is a serving son. Who is a son that serves? Is the one that knows that I have the ability to be free, but I take my freedom and throw it into God and say, God, take the freedom and control my life. So declare it again. Say, I am a son that serves. My life belongs to God. Say, God has a specific will concerning my life. I will walk in a manner that is pleasing to him. I will do his will and not my own. Say it loud, it is his will and not my own. Say, nevertheless, let thy will be done. And not my own will. Now, I want you to continue the prayer. Say, concern this situation, Lord, I declare these words. These words that I have spoken now, declare them again in your own words over that situation. Lord, concerning marriage, you have something you have spoken about me. Concerning business, there is something you have spoken about me. Because of my finances, you spoke a word earlier on. Concerning my future, concerning the town I will live in, concerning where I will walk, the seasons of my life. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. In the name of Jesus Christ. I said, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Please, there's something I said before. Let me say it again. The prayer we are praying here, this is the beginning. It's not the end of it. Do you understand my point? There's an attitude. Paul said something. He said, pray without ceasing. This is, I understand now what he was saying. Pray without ceasing. Every time, you know, because what happens is that you get a situation, again, confusion is still there. James said, look, pray in faith. Faith does not mean, I'm stubbornly holding on to something. Faith just means I have come to an understanding that God has a will. Therefore, I won't make a choice. And let me tell you something, don't make a choice until you are sure of what you are doing. Once you decide now, say, okay, I'm not interested again. By the time you are making your decisions, your heart must be convinced. That's what they call
walking in faith then. That is, this time around, you are doing that which you are persuaded about. What I'm saying is that we know God has a will. So if you come get back home, there's still a confusion concerning the situation, you go back into this prayer. Then say, as a man of faith, I pray only once and start giving thanks. Elijah was a man of faith and he prayed 7 times. How many times? You know the meaning of the word 7? You've heard the word 7, perfection. What it means, the way I understand it now, is that he prayed until the thing was clear. Do you understand my point? So this is not an end. This is what? A beginning. I hope you've learned something today. If you were blessed today, say amen.
Amen.
If you were not even blessed, but you want to make me happy, say amen. No, I mean, you can still say the amen, even if you said it before, sincerely, you know, whichever way. Uh-huh. The Lord is good. Please, can you just do me a favor? Can you just pray for Sokoto State? I have friends there. There are some threats. Yesterday was supposed to be the appeal court ruling on their governorship, and some people have been threatening fire and brimstone. It's a very simple prayer. I want you to pray for the security of every non-indigenous of Sokoto State, especially those who are Christians, either nominal Christians or true believers. Anybody who names the name, either as a denomination or in truth, names the name of Jesus Christ. Let's ask for God's protection over them. God will answer you. God will answer the prayer that you are praying now. I know. If you will ask, say, let peace reign in Sokoto State. Lord, be a defense. Let every fomenter of trouble be disappointed. Lord, scatter their mists. Let them turn against each other. Let their conspiracy be scattered. Lord, hold them in derision. Cause confusion amongst them. Let them not understand their own language anymore. Let rot dissipate. Let safety, every pastor, every church member, every non-indigent. Kirby State has a lot of Christians, which is just next door. A lot of Southerners are there. I have friends there. I'm seeing their faces now. These are men with wives and children, with ministries, with careers, that have, because of the integrity of their hearts and their faith in God, have moved to that land. Say, Lord, let no harm come upon them. Let no danger. Deliver them from evil. Say, Lord, deliver them from evil. Lord, guard thy sword upon thy thigh and ride prosperously and in majesty and come to the defense of these people that we are asking concerning. Every non-indigenous of any Sokoto State, every non-Muslim that's in that land that these men will want to turn their hearts against, Lord, cause your protection to be upon them. And Lord, we want calm and peace in that whole state. Look, as long as they are part of Nigeria, we have jurisdiction. Therefore, we declare there will be no trouble there in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, we declare there will be no trouble, no bloodshed, no sectarian, no religious violence. We refuse it, we reject it, we come against it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare security is their portion, especially the believers, especially the non-indigenous, especially the Christians. We command violence to cease. You blood-sucking demon, we command you to get out of this country. We declare peace upon our land. We declare peace and tranquility upon this land. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's thank him because he has answered. Peace is our portion. We declare peace upon that land. No, Jesus said, you say peace upon this home. That means you have the ability to say it. Therefore, we say peace upon Sokoto State in the name of Jesus. In the same manner, we say peace upon Plateau State in the name of Jesus. We say peace upon Ebonyi State in the name of Jesus. And peace upon Enugu State in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks for today. It's been a wonderful day. Thank you for the beauty of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Surely God's goodness and his mercies shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.